Today is September 20th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $27,030.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, just another day. How about yourself, Hans?
Another day in paradise, sir. Another day in paradise. Try not to complain too much because it could always be worse.
That's right.
At least I tried. I'm not very successful at it, but real quick, I mean, kind of bringing this roundabout and how we had talked about kind of before going live here. Not a whole lot is going on. I mean, there's a lot going on all the time, but when it comes to the markets and Bitcoin itself, like not a whole lot of any major news has come out. There's rumors here and there of different things, but nothing too crazy. I think you were saying it feels like everything's kind of on pause.
Yeah, just stasis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like on pause. It's just everything seems to be moving in slow motion. The markets, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, nothing is making moves one way or the other. At least, I mean, nothing major. I mean, movements are happening all the time. There's constant fluctuations. But it really just seems like the world's still waiting on something, and I just don't know what it is.
Right. Just waiting for the shoe to drop.
Yeah. You know, when we had the FOMC meeting minutes that got released today, I think a lot of people were, you know, and I find it kind of interesting, too, like, the Fed decided to pause an increase, right? Like they just decided to kind of wait and see. So we didn't have another rate hike today. But even on that news, like you figure equity markets would have been pretty pumped by that idea that the Fed was not raising rates again right now. But the markets kind of had the inverse reaction to everything.
Yeah, I don't think the markets know what to do with any of the information that's coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, I trust that the Fed is not going to raise interest rates this month.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know how much inflation has really come down. I mean, I don't think it's obviously as bad as, you know, the peak in 2021, 2022, but it just seems like we're in a different type of inflationary environment. You know, it's like, it's never going to go back to the way it was before the pandemic.
Yeah, well, I mean, and think about that, though. So if we had 9% last year, right, and then, like, right now we're running around that 3%, so that's 12% from last year to this year. I mean, when you stack it together from 2 years ago or whatever, right, like, it'd be a 12% increase. And then next year, say that they do start hitting 2%. So that's the 12% plus, or the 12% plus another 2%. We're looking at like a 15% interest or inflation increase over 3 years.
Kind of. Well, it's not plus. It's actually compounding. So it's actually times whatever person, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, we would have to, in order to get back to those 2020, 2019 pricing on everything, we'd have to actually see a negative inflation rate, right?
Right.
And I mean, that's not going to happen. So it's like, even if they get it to where it's at only a 2% increase annually again, that's already after it's gone up by, you know, 15, 16% that they've recorded, that they're, or at least that they're recognizing.
Yeah. No, for sure. Prices are never going back down.
No.
I mean, the outside of something catastrophic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and maybe like real estate and stuff like that, maybe the bottom will fall out, you know. Some of those things that can happen will probably happen, but the overall, I mean, whatever you're seeing at the grocery store, just I wouldn't expect it to get better, and I think it's going to take a while for wages to catch up to that type of a thing. Like I said, I mean, so the FOMC, like the Fed, Jerome Powell, they said they weren't going to raise rates. He did mention that it looks like they probably will raise them one more time this year, but that they were just kind of waiting for a wait-and-see approach. There's another meeting. I think they've got another meeting at the end of October, October 31st through November 1st. and then at the end of December. But the Dow Jones, like once that news came out, they dropped 77 points and the S&P decreased by 0.9%. Even Bitcoin, I think it was starting to kind of rally a little bit the past couple of days. And it dropped back down below sub 27,000 once the release of the minutes came out. And that was off, not a huge high, but off of 27,180. And so right now we're riding that skirt of about 27,000. So kind of unsure time still. We have a lot of wait and see what's going to happen, what the Fed's going to decide. So I don't know.
Right. Yep. It just seems everything's happening in slow motion until all of a sudden it's not.
Yeah. Yep. And how long is it going to take for all that stuff to finally kind of burst? Another thing that, you know, we started talking about before we kind of got going here was the global debt has rose to a record $307 trillion global debt worldwide. And I think the interesting thing about that is that $100 trillion of that $307 trillion has only been within the past decade.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, in the past decade, what were we at? Somewhere around 20 trillion?
Yeah.
Plus or minus?
We're at what?
33 now?
Yeah.
At least when I say our debt, the U.S. government debt.
You might as well call it our debt. We're going to be expected to be the ones that pay for it some way, somehow.
That are the future generations.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to become a whirlpool. Like, and at what point does that debt spiral kick in? Like, everybody talked about the debt spiral before, right? Like, whenever it just gets too enormous. And when you have basically the interest payment is just getting so high where it's just compounding.
Well, historically speaking, some economists were looking at different countries and what the debt to GDP ratio that would lead to that kind of debt spiral, the death debt spiral. Is that what we'd call it?
Yeah.
It's like,
that's fitting.
You got too deep into it that you can't dig yourself out. And that was generally, 90% of your GDP, your annual GDP in debt. And I don't know what America's annual GDP is. It's somewhere, in the low 20 trillions. So we're well past that, but we still haven't. I guess we're just still waiting for that motion to start picking up. But somehow the dollar has some weird financial anti-gravity. The laws of physics don't really apply to us, at least for the time being.
Yeah. I just pulled up the numbers. For 2022, it looks like it was $25 trillion was our GDP in the United States. We're way beyond that 90% mark, right?
We're in the 120%.
So, and the weird thing about that, though, is like nobody can call us on it because then they would all get called on their loans, too, because they're all in debt.
Right.
It's just a circle jerk of debt. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, central banking, isn't it grand?
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, that's kind of interesting, though. I mean, yeah, because we are well above that 90% threshold. And it is only going to increase. Like, it's just going to skyrocket from here. I don't know how you increase productivity to outpace that.
Neither.
I mean, because that's what it would take. I mean, either somehow really reducing their spending, which the government doesn't plan on doing, or you have to increase productivity with a population that's falling. You know what I'm saying? Like the populace isn't there. Like we don't have the people to replace.
Yes. And actually that's going to be a much bigger problem than we even realize.
Yeah.
at least most of us realize. I mean, you and I, we have a little bit better grasp than most people, but I mean, the numbers are striking.
Yeah. Elon Musk is doing his part, though. That dude gets around.
Hey, man, he can afford it.
He can, yeah. No, he definitely can. I wonder how that works. Like, how liquid do you think that guy is? We know his net worth, but how much of that is, like, cash, like, carry around cash?
He was able to buy Twitter for $42 billion, so, I mean, that's pretty crazy.
And he still doesn't seem to sweat it. I don't know. Anyways, last thing that I was going to bring up tonight is flat coins. Have you heard of those previously?
No.
So typically, like within the crypto cycles, like at the 4-year bull cycle that Bitcoin goes through, every time there's a bull market that happens, there's always different things that kind of come into play that become the buzzwords for that bull cycle, whether it's NFTs, whether it's DeFi, stable coins, whatever the case may be. Now we have something called flat coins. So flat coins, like stable coins, right? They hold the value of a dollar. Like they stay pegged to the dollar, the American dollar. And there's various kinds. I think there's stable coins of the euro, those types of things all across the world. Like different currencies get pegged to a stable coin, and that's, they hold the one unit value of whatever that currency may be. Now we have what is becoming known as flat coins, which I don't necessarily agree with that price, but, or with that name, but flat coins basically is a cryptocurrency pegged to the price of living. So it goes up and down with inflation.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thought. I mean, I think it's hard enough to peg, you know, your cryptocurrency to, or your currency to a dollar, because we don't know exactly what the printing press is doing. Maybe it is easier to track cost of living. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that would work. The first coin that's doing it that I know of is called Nuon, and that's spelled N-U-O-N.
N-U-O-N. Almost sounds like Yulong.
It's, I mean, it's a novel concept. I don't know how that would work other than like a burn mechanism and an inflation mechanism built into the coin. Like it would have to ebb and flow. I mean, obviously it's going to be easier just to expand the coin, or, well, I guess you'd have to decrease the coin, right? If you're going
to, no, you'd have to increase the coin. Well, no, that's actually a good point. Would you be increasing with the rise of prices? You'd actually have to burn it.
Yeah, you'd have to.
They have to go the opposite direction to match.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
that's
curious.
A little bit more complicated.
Yeah, I would be curious to see that mechanism and see how that actually works. Like if that's really what it is, a deflationary mechanism that burns tokens to keep that. And then at the other end of it, would also have to generate tokens from time to time as inflation moves. I mean, mainly burn, I suppose. I don't know. And then, I mean, if you have a set supply, like, what happens there?
You know, this is an interesting concept. Though, I still say, you know, with stable coins, I think it's kind of a losing thing, at least until cryptocurrency becomes the main currency, right?
Yeah, I mean, stablecoins, I think the biggest concern with the stablecoin aspect is that I think that any of your central banks are going to go after them. I don't think that they're, I mean, because really that's where the central banks want to be in the crypto space. They want to be the stablecoin. You know what I'm saying? Like I think that's what they would long for with the CBDCs more than anything else, is for them to be the stablecoin. They don't want you going to Tether or, you know, Circle Coin or anything like that. They want you to use their currency for that aspect of it. Because, I mean, right now, if you're in dealing with the Bolivar, you could use a stable coin and bypass your country's thing completely, and you're basically dealing with American dollar units without touching the American dollar.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm leery. Like Tether, I like how Tether has operated, and I trust Tether more than any of the other stable coins out there. But yeah, I don't know how that's going to end up playing out for stable coins.
Now, especially now that you're pointing out that they have to burn. I mean, that's going to be way more complicated, I think.
I think so too. I don't think it'll be able to keep its peg. I mean, because
no.
I don't understand how the issuance would work with a burn mechanism trying to keep the value to increase with the cost of living. Unless you just have a ridiculously large amount. But even then, I don't know. I don't understand it, sir. I'd have to do more research, but I hadn't heard about it until this morning. That was the first time I'd heard about a flat coin.
Well, I wonder if that will be the next trend. But granted, we won't be able to say that until we actually do hit the next bull market.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I mean, who knows? I mean, I still want to believe that we're going to hit between 40,000 to 45,000 before the halving. Just because it seems like that's what's going to have to take place in order for us to start to kick back up. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
And who knows? I mean, if we do get a BlackRock ETF in October, that may change everything. But even then, I'm still kind of leery about that.
Yep. Scares me just the same.
Like, I'm excited for it. And then at the same time, like, oof. What's their angle going to be? What's their play going to be? So, I don't know. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up tonight?
No, that's it for me.
Do keep your head on a swivel. We're going to have hopefully some newsletters still coming out, possibly some merch. I know we've been talking about it for a little bit, but we're working on some things in the background. We want to make sure and bring that stuff to you. So stay with us.
Yes, sir.
Thank you all for listening.
Bye.